Thank you, Pastor Hannah. And isn't it nice to welcome Pastor Hannah back here this morning? Again, she has that kind of refreshed appearance, and let's just continue to keep her in our prayers that that sense of renewal will be a part of her life. My friends, let's talk about miracles. I want to believe in miracles. I do. What about you? I want to be mystified. I want to be wonder-filled. And today in our scripture, for our enjoyment and wonder, Matthew offers us a gospel kind of miracle in his story of Jesus' feeding of the 5,000, which is found in all four of the gospels: Mark, Luke, John, Matthew. So for me, this is like, oh, we need to pay attention. We find this story in all four of the Gospels, and in fact, it's the only story told in all four of them in the same and like manner. So I think we need to sit up and pay attention. This is important. The Gospel evangelist must be wanting to try to tell us something that we need to know as we grow Christian lives. But what is it? I don't think for a moment that it's the notion that Jesus is able to do some kind of a sleight of hand trick. Do you? I think they're trying to convey to us the importance that Jesus placed on relationships, on people coming together and being part of a community, of eating and drinking and sharing our stories together, of caring for one another. That's exactly what Jesus did. He built relationships with all kinds of people in all kinds of places. And that's what I believe Jesus is still trying to do with us today. Now, as the story goes, Jesus is kind of needing a renewal break. Jesus needs a vacation. He's been on a center stage for quite a while, preaching, teaching, healing. He's just learned that John the Baptist, his cousin and friend, has been cruelly killed. With the long hours of work, with his grief and loss, Jesus knows that he needs a break. So he decides to get into a boat and row a few miles out of town to a remote place and to spend a couple of days retreating for good prayer and solitude. It was a good idea. However, the problem is that some people got word of what Jesus was going to do, and they decided to tag along. Can you just imagine in your mind's imagination Jesus' surprise when he landed that boat on the beach of this really remote place only to find thousands of people waiting for him? The story tells us there were 5,000 men, and if you figure in the women and the children, that crowd number could have been closer to a Taylor Swift concert. You know, it could have been 12, 15,000 people. These thousands of people had hiked for miles to this remote place, uninvited. For what? To get a glimpse of Jesus? To listen to him tell his stories and parables? To give advice? To heal them of whatever was troubling them? No one knows exactly why these people went to all the trouble, but we just know that they did. And we also know that Jesus didn't turn them away, which he could have had every right to do. It was his vacation. It was his time to get away from all of this activity. But instead, he talked to them, and they listened. These people felt at home with Jesus. They felt like they belonged. They felt a sense of purpose and community, because they were so happy to be with him, to listen to him, they ended up staying all day. After Jesus had been with the crowd for a while, the 12 disciples felt the need to kind of step in and do for Jesus what Jesus seemed to be able to do for himself. They stepped in to send the people away. My goodness, the man needed his rest. He was tired. His friends were only looking out for him, or that's what they said. Maybe they were actually being selfish, wanting their own alone time with Jesus. We don't know the real reason why the disciples wanted to get rid of everyone, but we know that they did suggest to the crowd that they could go away in order to get some food. Jesus gave his friends the basic instructions that appear over and over again in one form or another throughout the entire Gospels. You take care of it. Jesus said to them, you give them something to eat. Those were his words. You share what you've got. You do something. So they did. They pulled out what little food they'd had, some bread and dried fish, and asked Jesus to bless the food, and then shared this tiny feast with the people in the crowd. Now, for as long as I can remember, the focus of interpreting this story has long been on how in the world did he do that? How did Jesus multiply the loaves and fishes? Miracle. That was some magic trick. Making a tiny bit of food stretch to feed thousands of people and even to provide leftovers. Oh, when I first started asking the question, how in the world did Jesus do that? I was a child, about the age of some of these children here today. And their response to me by adults was, well, he was God. Don't ask questions. It wasn't until I was much older that a friend and then a college religion professor and then my seminary professor of New Testament all tried to give me the answer. And I didn't like it. Each in their own words basically said, oh, there was really no miracle in this story. That this was simply a matter of people following someone else's lead. I mean, just think about it. If people were going to go to the trouble of walking miles and miles into the wilderness to meet up with Jesus, surely they would have planned ahead and brought some kind of food, at least a snack with them, if not a meal for the whole family. And when those in the crowd saw that the others were getting out their food to share, then they all just followed in. The disciples offered their food to share. A few others pitched in the food that they had brought, and pretty soon it was potluck. People are giving and taking and sharing everything they've got. That's what the gospel is all about. Sharing what we've got, no matter how little it might be. When we do that, there is not only enough for everyone, but there is actually an overflow and abundance of resources. It's not rocket science, and it's not a miracle. Not a miracle? No magic, no wonder? My bubble burst. If there was no magic involved, if this is really just a story about a bunch of people getting together and sharing their food, what's the big deal? Where is God in the simple sharing of a meal? What kind of God would expect people, me, to do all the work in the world? That wasn't the God that I knew and believed in at that early point in my life. The God I knew then was a God who had my kind of life all mapped out, who ran the events of this world, who would make things happen without all my input, who kind of lives out there supervising me. Well, I came to realize that it was a good thing my friend gave me the answer that he did. But at the time, I was frustrated. I was confused. I was young. I was still growing. That was because he revealed to me a magic secret that I wasn't fully ready to hear. However, as time passed and my faith grew, I understood that it was not good for me to believe that Jesus would just pull loaves and fishes out of a basket as if they were like rabbits coming out of a magician's hat. That kind of thinking takes the responsibility totally off me and makes me want him to, oh, please, do it again and again. But I've come to understand that we are here so that God can do it again through us. Just because I don't believe that this was some kind of parlor trick doesn't mean that I don't believe that it was miraculous. Because it was. The fact that people's hearts and minds were opened to sharing their lives and to share their food with one another, that's a miracle. We can assume that in that huge crowd, there were all kinds of people, different people from all over the known world, Jews, Gentiles, old, young, men, women, children, friends, strangers, and maybe even an enemy or two. In that remote place away from the real world, somehow their differences didn't seem to matter. All the things that had made them different from one another vanished. The rules and norms that would keep them from ever touching one another, from caring about one another, had disappeared, or at least seemed less important than they ever did before. Here, with Jesus, their boundaries were gone. And they shared their lives, and they shared their food, and they shared their stories with each other. As you look at this story, it's really pretty straightforward and simple. Jesus talks to people. Jesus cares about people. Jesus builds relationships with people. And Jesus expects people to get to work. Jesus doesn't pull any punches when his answer to most problems is, well, you do something about it. You build relationships. Get to work. Do something. That's what we're called to do, friends. Oh, but we say, oh, Lord, it's just too hard. Lord, it's overwhelming. I can't do that. I don't have enough. I don't have time. I don't have money. I barely have enough for me. Do you have any idea what you're asking me to do? Oh, I'm so stressed out. My schedule is full. Those are all pretty universal responses to Jesus' instructions. They always have been. How do I know? Because I've made them myself. Most days, I'd fit right in with those 12 disciples. I mean, you know, I think Jesus is pretty cool. I think Jesus really is on to something. Oh, but it really irritates me when he cuts into my comfort zone. Expecting me to change my habits, to share my money, time, talents with people that I don't really know and probably don't have anything in common with, bugs me. After all, this is my life, isn't it? I can relate to the 12 disciples. When they say to Jesus, oh, we only have a little bit. Can't they get their own? How can this little bit of food make a difference to all these people? Just send them away and they'll figure something out on their own. I can understand their possible bruised feelings when Jesus replies to their protests, hey, listen to me. You have a little bit, and you have a little bit, and you have a little bit. Put it all together and share it. It'll work. Trust me. Frustrating, isn't it? But Jesus' disciples do what he says, and it all worked out. Their act of sharing, no matter how small, no matter how coerced, made a huge impact on people. They had to feel a miracle occurred. And it was so. We've all come here this morning for different reasons. Some of us come out of curiosity, some out of habit, some have come for healing, some come to sing, some have come looking maybe for direction and wisdom, some come just to be and talk with their friends. Whatever the reason, the message is the same for all of us. You give them something to eat. You do something. Do something to spread God's light and love in this world. You do something. And through us, Jesus' miracle continues on. Praise be to God.